That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Good morning, Millennials.
Pussy PSA. Pussy PSA. Tense up.
What's going on, Turdy Lou?
What's going on is that today we are joined by TikTok sensation, good friend, might I add, Jake Shane. You might know him as Octopus Lover 8. Is there an 8? Hey, Jake. How you doing?
Girl, I'm good. I'm fucking tired, but I'm good.
I'm so excited for you to be here. This is like our third or fourth time. I will say, like, I did have to reschedule, and I'm so sorry.
Wait, it's so fine.
But you're so worth the wait, Jake.
Oh my God, you're worth the wait.
We're worth the wait.
Okay, yeah.
I'm obsessed with you. I have followed you on TikTok, like, not to make everything about me, but like, I feel like I saw something in you early. Like, I feel like
you did.
I was an early TikTok follow of yours.
You were an early pussy.
I was an early pussy, and you have just blown up over the last, what, like 6 months?
6 months. I think exactly 6 months.
How many TikTok followers do you currently have?
Let me think. 2.4. 2.4 million.
I'm so, like, jealous and not even, like, a little happy for you. I'm just jealous, you know?
Yeah. I am the most jealous person alive, by the way.
Normalize being jealous.
Normalize fucking being jealous. I'm so jealous and bitter about everything.
No, like, whenever I see, like, other people doing things, I'm like, why isn't that me?
Why isn't that me?
That should be me.
Holding your hand.
Oh, you have a nice voice.
Oh, my God. Thank you.
Okay, so you blew up on TikTok now. Of course, we're literally, like, the official podcast of TikTok. So
you are.
Everybody here, like, pretty much knows. But, you know, we do have, you know, a bit of an older crew, the Instagram Reels listeners.
Right.
So for those who may not be familiar, tell us your story, Jake.
Okay, so like my life story or like...
No, yeah, like your career story.
Okay, so basically I was at USC and I was taking, like, I was interning at a record label and I had like a year off before I could, like my internship was over and like I couldn't start full time. So they were like, okay, like...
Do something.
And I was like, okay, so I was like leaning into like college and then I was like, I'm really bored. And I was at my friend's mom's birthday dinner and the octopus came and I'm like, oh my God, this is just like such a perfect time.
Like the octopus as in the dish.
Yeah, the like, puss came.
The puss came, okay.
And I was like, I turned to my best friend Alice. I was like, I need to like start this pass the puss thing. So I tried to set up pass the puss was taken.
Dead.
And I was like, weird. And then I did Pass That Puss, which like has a better ring to it anyway. Like, I'm not bitter.
Pass That Puss.
And I started basically just posting photos of octopus and writing them out of 8 tentacles. And then I like started posting like videos kind of. And one night something just came to me where I was like, oh my God, you should like do a call and respond.
Yeah.
And so I did that. And then like, I didn't really think anything of it. I literally had like 50 followers. And then like one person came up to me on a night out at like the college bar. And I was like, oh, so like I have fans.
Oh, so you remember the first time you were approached?
Oh yes. Her name is Alexis.
I remember too. I don't remember the person's name. I was too busy thinking about myself.
Yeah.
And how my life was about to change.
No, that I literally got home and I was like, so I want everyone to know I have a fan. And everyone was like making fun of me. And now look at me, now I'm on the toast.
No, literally everyone can eat your fucking ass.
Literally.
I'm so glad you remember that moment. Cause it's kind of, it's like, it's a transitional phase where like somebody who doesn't know you recognizes you. I was in a casino and this person was like, are you like, and I was, honestly, it was really embarrassing because I was at like a table with like gamblers and they were like, what is going on? And I was like, honestly, sir, please don't talk to me. But it was like so sick. And so I'm glad you recognize that. And then how much longer until from that moment until you really blew up, brand deals, millions of followers, like how long did it actually take?
I want to say after that, I think that was in January, so maybe like a year and 2 months.
Wow, that's fast.
Yeah. So I kept posting on Instagram. I like didn't really like do the only TikTok I had to my name was this reaction with me and my two friends Brett and Julia to All Too Well 10-minute version, mm-hmm. which Taylor actually commented on.
Stop.
Yeah, I was really excited. I was in my friend Trudy's apartment and I was screaming.
I'm sorry, you were in your friend whose apartment?
Trudy.
Her name is Trudy Lou.
Trudy Lou.
You have a best friend named Trudy Lou.
Yeah, she's actually here.
Yeah, I know. Hey. Okay, so your life pretty much changed overnight. I feel like this happens a lot with TikTokers. Like when Remy Bader first came on the toast, I think for like other creators or just people in the public space, there's a slow arc. You know, you get momentum and it's then it slowly grows. But TikTok has this nature where people's lives really change in such a short amount of time. And I think it can be really hard for people. It's really fun if you can handle it. But I think there's obviously like a really dark side to it. So I'm curious like how your life changing really on a dime has been for you. Like, have you struggled with it or is it all fun and games?
No, I definitely struggled. Like, I was like, well, because I'm such a planner. So like I had like my plan in my mind. Like I was like, I was going up, like I was gaining followers, like slowly but shortly. Like, but so I was like, slowly but shortly help.
Slowly but surely.
Slowly but surely.
I'm dead.
And I was like loving, I literally thought I was like the most famous person in the world.
It's so crazy like what you can concoct in your own mind when you're so obsessed with yourself.
No, I mean the story of my life.
Yes. Story everything. Of yeah. my life.
I take her home.
I drive all night.
To keep her warm inside.
Don't be afraid. It's frozen. Continue.
That was awesome. I had like 60,000 followers and I was celebrating 60,000 followers.
It's huge.
Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, let's do my favorite thing and let's have everyone tell me I'm a good actor. So comment stuff you want me to act out.
Got it.
And I wasn't, and I was honestly like, I was really high and I was like, oh fuck, I promised the pussies I would do this. And I like, I don't have it in me right now. Like I can't. Mm-hmm. I can't pull this like Bill Clinton impression out of me. Like I can't do it. And so I like spoke like this as Bill Clinton and people like really thought it was funny. And then so I kept kind of rolling with that. And I got 1 million followers in a week.
In a week.
Yeah. And
that's
I was like,
so crazy.
It was crazy. Well, honestly,
I remember just watching it like at a vantage point, your video, it's really crazy how like the TikTok algorithm when it works for you, like it'll serve you to everyone.
Right.
And it was, I felt like in a matter of hours, you were everywhere.
No, it was crazy. But the thing is, I thought that that's just how TikTok worked with everyone. Mm-hmm. So I was like thinking,
no, it's not. Trust, some of us are out here trying so hard for 300,000 followers.
No, but I thought like all like the TikTok famous people, like I thought it like that just because like Charlie has like 100 million followers. Right. I just thought like I wasn't really thinking that hard, but I was obviously like so excited. And then obviously you're like, it's like, and then it's just like, okay, it's your job.
Right. Because overnight it becomes just like a career.
Yeah. Well, because the guy I was the assistant for is now my manager.
Right.
So that's so crazy. It was like a really quick, okay.
Turnaround.
And he was like, I will do this for you.
Let me ask you another question. So I put you in the category of people who like blew up overnight with like Emily Mariko.
Right.
Alex Earle.
Yes.
Do Emily and Alex have a group chat? Like, have you...
I've never spoken to Emily.
I feel like nobody's spoken to Emily.
Right?
Like, hashtag, where's Emily Mariko? I know she's on her honeymoon and everybody like thought she died because she didn't post for 2 weeks. And she's like, hey guys, I'm here. I'm just like actually living my life, not on my phone. See you soon. Respect. So you guys don't chat.
I've never. So funny you say that though, because 2 years ago, my memory was me eating the Emily Mariko salmon bowl.
Did you like it?
It was fucking insane, but my stomach hurt so badly after.
Hot take, it was one of the most disgusting things I've ever tasted in my life. Having said that, like, it's not for me. I don't enjoy, like, salmon and mayo.
Yeah, it was...
I tolerate salmon. I definitely don't eat mayo.
Yeah, it was... you don't like mayo?
No, it's, like, a kind of a big deal between me and my husband. My husband would put mayo, like, seriously... on a cracker. Like he would eat it.
Okay, that's disgusting.
He would eat it. He got roasted the other day because he put mayo on his hot dog.
That's fucking nasty.
In his defense, he said he was making Russian, so we didn't see like it because I had taken a video of him and people were like, is that mayo? He was putting ketchup on top and gonna mix it like to make Russian. Yeah, no. My husband's disgusting. Like one of the most disgusting people I've ever met in my life.
Oh my God, that's nasty.
Yeah.
On a hot dog?
He'll put it on anything. And then, like, when we first started dating, he roasted me because, like, I was over at his place. We had, like, drank the night before. And so before he woke up, I was ordering bagels because I was fucking starving.
Yeah.
And I didn't really, like, know his orders for stuff yet. But I know he loved tuna. So I got him tuna. And they were like, do you want to add stuff? And I added a bunch of stuff, like lettuce, pickle, Russian. There was Russian on the thing. So I was like, yeah, sure, Russian. He loves mayo. he was like, did you put Russian in my bagel? I'm like, is that crazy? He's like, he still talks about it to this day. I'm like, you're disgusting. You eat everything. You're literally a vacuum. I'm weird for getting Russian on your tuna.
That's not weird.
It's not weird given what you eat. You eat mayo on a hot dog.
How is, I feel like a bagel is the least weird thing to put Russian on. That's like bread for a sandwich.
Thank you. I guess the tuna made it weird.
Why? There's literally mayo and tuna.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm team you for this
one. I guess
one.
Like ketchup. No, I stand by what I did.
Yeah, you should, because that's the least weird thing ever.
How did we get here? Oh, Emily Mariko, Salmon Bowl.
Right. Yeah, I don't know where she is, but her wedding was fucking chic.
So stunning.
Like, so stunning. Like, that dress was everything.
She's so timeless.
She's so timeless.
I love her.
I fucking love Emily Mariko, and I miss her every day.
I know. I'm wishing her well, though, in her, you know, newlywed bliss.
Yeah.
So there's no group chat, but I'm sure you've spoken to, like, other creators who have kind of...
I speak to Alex growth. A lot.
Oh, yeah. And you guys have, like, a similar journey.
Like, similar. Obviously, like, hers is, like, me times a million.
No, she's, like, at Paris Fashion Week. And yeah, like, she's, like... not.
Yeah, exactly. First of all, Fashion Week is a fucking lie, because this shit has been going on for a fucking month.
Yeah, it's, they call it Fashion Month.
I hate it.
No, I was just thinking about that this morning, too, because Fashion Week has become... It's, New York Fashion Week, I'm only speaking about, has kind of become this, like, commercialized, like, right. brand deal. It's not really, like, about fashion.
No, it's not.
And I think that if you really want to see, like, who is, like, a real mover and shaker in the fashion industry when it comes to, like, the influencer community, look who's going to, like, Paris Fashion Week.
Right.
Because everyone can go to New York Fashion Week. It's kind of like a free-for-all Coachella these days.
It is Coachella.
But Paris Fashion Week is, like, still very... In Paris, they're like, no, you guys can't come.
Right, like, Zendaya's there.
Right. So if, like, you're being invited and flown out, like, that's like real creme de la creme. And I think it's really interesting to see, like, who actually goes into.
I know. Oh, fuck. Paris Fashion Week's the one I live for, but they all make me really insecure, if I'm going to be honest.
Okay, that's another good question. You've blown up. You're getting invited places. It's really hard not to compare yourself to other people. And, like, what we were talking about, jealousy. Like, what are other people doing? What brand deals are they? Right. What trips are? How do you deal with, like, minimizing that type of, like, negative talk in your brain?
Like, I just have my friends yell at me.
Love that for you.
Like, I'll, like, speak and they'll be like, shut up, I'm literally working a 9-to-5.
Well, you know what, I wanted to ask you that, because the last time we spoke in person, we went out for dinner and you were updating me on everything and you were still working a full-time job.
Yes.
And that was, like, a conscious choice you had made.
Yeah.
What are you doing now?
Now I'm doing this full-time.
Okay.
Now I'm doing this full-time. But I did that for as long as I could, because it really kept me grounded. Mm-hmm. Like, going into an office every day, like, really just, like, I don't know, it made this feel a little more normal. That's why everyone was like, has your life changed? I'm like, well, I hang out with the same people and I do the same thing.
Right.
I just, like, post, like, a few videos, like, for brand deals.
Yeah.
And, like, I get to go to, like, cool stuff. Because I was, like, I would, like, go to that stuff sometimes because I worked on the other side of the industry.
In the industry.
Yeah, I would work. I would go as, like, to work the event.
Right.
As opposed to, like, be a talent there. So, like, that was different. But, now I'm doing this full time, which... It's honestly, like, it's been a little, like, leaning into it fully is a lot, it's easier on my head. Because, like, when I was working a full-time job and I was doing this, it was, like, literally Hannah Montana.
How do you prioritize? Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, what's happening? Like, I'm literally getting high in bed at 3 a.m. and making a video that gets a million views and then, like, going
waking up at 6 and going to work.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, okay, so that's good. It's also really scary to, like, let go of everything that up until this point was, like, stable for you.
Right.
And what you're told you should do, which is, you know, graduate, get a job.
Yes.
So to let that go, I totally understand that.
It was crazy. I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
And it's also like, TikTok is so scary because everyone's like, oh my God, this is so amazing. But it's like, okay, but your entire career is kind of based on what people think of you. Mm-hmm. And it is fucking scary.
Okay. So let's talk about that.
Yeah.
First of all, I feel like relatively, and maybe it's just because my bar is high because I've, like, you know, been canceled 1,000 times.
Uh-huh.
I feel like your situation doesn't look that bad. But again, that's just my outside perspective.
Right.
Like, do you get hate?
Like, sometimes... Well, I just, like, read all the comments. So, like, one time... Like, I posted, like, the other day... I posted, like, oh my God, I, like, literally can't even hear myself speak. It makes me want to throw up. And someone commented, it's almost as bad as looking at you. No, I
hate when they get, like, creative with, like, a really good slay. Because, like, you want to be mad, but, like, they really got you.
No, one time someone...
Like, that's so mean. You're so good looking. Like, everyone can eat your ass.
Thank you.
But when, like, commenters have sass and, like, know how to use language, it really, it hurts even more.
Oh, one time someone commented, I was, like, upset about, like, these two gay people dating. Because, like, I'm not dating anyone. And I was,
jealousy.
Like... Yeah, jealousy. Mm-hmm. I don't know the rest of the lyrics.
Me neither.
Or else I would sing it with you.
It's like, oh, it's a fancy to you go out every night.
All your friends, they go out every night.
Yeah.
And a fat daddy's nice car. Okay.
Yeah, you're living the life.
And your girlfriend's pretty.
Two.
Yeah, we got it.
Okay, so somebody once commented.
Ugh, I know, but, like, they only date 10s.
And what about it?
And I was like, okay, so I'm not. And then, you know, want to know the most insulting comment?
I would love to.
They thought they ate.
For me, the equivalent of they thought they ate is yikes.
Ooh, I got a yikes the other day. And I was like, ooh.
No, when people like use it, not ironically, like I say yikes, like as a joke. Yeah. Normal. When people who are like, yikes, seriously, eat my ass. Grab a spoon and eat my fucking ass, bitch. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
Go away. Okay, so you're out here. And for those who may not be familiar, two of the things you really popularized and invented in TikTok culture is the act it out, where people will leave you suggestions to right. be like, act out, you know, Abe Lincoln finding out that Andrew Jackson is on right. one, or whoever the fuck, is on the $1 bill.
Uh-huh.
And you kind of recreate like historical events, yes. which is hysterical. Are you, like, is history a particular interest of yours?
It's like an interest of like my mom and my brother.
Mm.
And so like, maybe that's why, but like it honestly only happened because like with TikTok, like when like, bef- like I literally just throw shit at the wall, like you're yeah. like boiling pasta and like mm-hmm. seeing if it's done or mm-hmm. seeing if it sticks. And I was like, so I got the acting out idea from Julia Fox. She would like take suggestions in the comments, like tell me what to act out. And so someone commented like, do this, do this, do this. And then someone commented, do Bill Clinton with Monica Lewinsky or whatever. And I did it in like a funny way. And I was like, ooh, that's funny. So then I kept taking historical stuff and doing right. it. And I was like, you know so much about history. I'm like, no, like, I know what the comment said.
Yeah.
And, like, that's
I'll
about
Google
it.
I'll Google it.
And, like, and I'll Google it.
No, me and Jackie always have this conversation. Something I'm really trying to get better at. It's, like, be, like, a little bit more learned. Like, I literally went to college and I know nothing about history. It's
but you read.
So now I've started to read historical fiction. I think that's, like, a really good way to start learning. But Jackie was, like, asking me a bunch of questions on the podcast, like, a year or two ago. And she was, these are, like, basic history questions.
Like what?
Okay. And I didn't know half of them. And now I want to see if you know them.
Okay.
What started, or, like, what was a catalyst for World War One? World War One is so irrelevant. Like, we all know, we all know World War II. Like, do you know?
World War One.
I'll give you a clue. This is a clue Jackie okay. gave me. It was the assassination of someone.
Oh, my God. Yes, it was. Wasn't it some...
I feel like you're going to say something right.
Some treaty?
No.
Okay.
Archduke Franz Ferdinand.
Who the fuck is that?
Precisely my response. And even though I've, like, committed to learning more about history, I still... I'm focused on World War II. World War II is so much more interesting.
World War II is, like...
It's like a movie.
Yeah.
World War One, we don't know her.
I don't know what happened in World War One actually at all, but all I know is that Germany was down bad.
Yeah, and they stayed down bad and they came back with a vengeance, like killed everyone.
Yeah.
And I love reading about World War Two, honestly, because I usually read about, like, I'm trying to figure out, I know from, like, a Jewish perspective, right. like, obviously about the Holocaust.
Yes.
And I know a lot about the Holocaust, but I don't really know about the war
and yeah.
how it impacted the different countries in Europe. So I read, you know, The Nightingale, which took place in France. Then I just read this book about Italy. So I'm, like, learning about what life was like under, like, Nazi occupation in those regions. What point was I trying to make?
That you know about history because you're reading?
Because I'm reading. I was about to make a fire point. I can't remember. Okay, another history question that Jackie had asked me, and okay. I actually knew the answer to. What year was the Titanic?
19... I'm going to make something up.
Yeah.
1907?
So close. 1912.
Okay, so close.
And I only knew that because of Downton Abbey. Downton Abbey yeah. starts with the Titanic in 1912.
You know, I've never seen the Titanic.
The movie?
Yeah.
Okay, like, I saw it when I was a kid. And I was like, oh, this is so sad. Why am I watching this movie?
Yeah.
And yeah, it's like, I think it's a movie we should watch. Like,
I'd watch it with you.
Yeah, yeah. I actually don't know if I could watch it with you because, like, you would make me laugh and it's supposed to be sad.
Ugh, but, like, whatever.
Whatever.
Right? Like, whatever. It's Leonardo DiCaprio and he's so hot.
So true. Like, day one, Leo. He was so hot back then.
So, sorry, I still think he's hot.
I don't.
I know, but there's something about him that I'm just like, yeah, I'm you. You.
Oh, I'm not experiencing the same phenomena, but that's what's so great about the toast. Like, we're giving platforms to people with different opinions.
100%.
And you're a big pop culture fan. You're a big toaster.
The biggest.
So you're going to do the Fast Five with me today.
I'm so excited.
And you're an enormous Swiftie.
I mean, yes. And I agree with your point. That's like, I like, I'm so careful what I say because like, I want to be friends with her.
Okay. So that's kind of like this line that I walk in my yeah, life. That's right. So hard because I'm delusional. And like, I
the
really truly believe one day.
Yes.
I will be like a close confidant. Of Taylor Swift.
Right. And why do I feel like she almost wants people around her that like love her so much?
For sure. For sure. But you have to toe that line 100%. Of like not being a fucking freak.
Exactly.
Like I'm not going to, you know, rifle through her laundry and smell her underwear. Yeah. Like I yes. want her to know like I'm cool and normal. I just right. happen to like have this undying love and affection and respect for you.
The utmost respect.
The utmost respect.
Like I've never respected someone probably more in my life.
One of my favorite things that you do on social media, because I also follow you on Instagram, is like post rogue selfies in the middle of the night with like the most well thought out thoughts on Taylor Swift's discography. Like, you'll point out a certain lyric or you'll a certain era and just give your thoughts on it. And it's so beautiful. It's really poignant.
Thank you. It's actually my favorite thing to do. The reason I do that is because I do it with my friends, and whatever they think is funny, I take and put on the internet.
Got it.
Like, I base what I should put out, like what my little bit should be, based on what my friends like.
Right. You have like a girl gang.
I have a girl gang.
You live with your girl gang?
Yes, I do.
Are they your college girl gang, home friends? Like, how do you know the girlies?
Okay.
And they're always the ones filming you and giggling in the background, which makes the videos even funnier.
Right. So there's Alice, Julia, Brett, Peyton, and Kennedy.
Wow, Julie, you have five friends. That's beyond impressive.
I know. Julia, Brett, and Peyton are from college.
Okay.
Alice was always my friend out of college, but she lived in LA, so we were just always close. Mm-hmm. Kennedy is Peyton's best friend from home and moved out to LA after college, and we all just kind of
connected. Let me ask you another question, because I feel like your rise in popularity and fame really coincided with you going to Sophia Richie's wedding, which you which you were going to anyway. I think a lot of people were like, wow, he got famous. And now
yeah.
But you have been friends with Sophia Richie living in LA.
Right.
And her family and her like in-laws. So you are at this wedding.
Yes.
That's like the social event of the season. But you're also like having your own moment.
Right.
Is that weird? What was that like?
But like that week was like fairy tale land.
For you or for the wedding?
For the wedding. It's like I was in like a fairy tale.
Yeah.
So like I wasn't even thinking about that really. Like,
you weren't
thinking
about yourself?
No, when I'm at weddings, I like don't, weirdly enough.
I actually feel that.
Like, when I'm at weddings, I'm like thinking about like love. Like, if I ever think about myself, it's like, I need a boyfriend. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
but by the way, with your skyrocket to fame, has that made dating easier or harder?
Not easier, not harder. Like, it's non-existent, per usual. Really? But like, I'm going on a date tonight.
By the way, I feel like we have a lot of really cute gay Jewish toasters.
Well.
GJTs.
HML hit my line.
Are you open to the DMs?
So fucking open. When this all happened, my dad was like, you know, people are going to start wanting to like hit your line, like, because of like.
your dad did not say that.
No, I think he did.
Okay.
And like, he was like, because of like everything. And I'm like, okay, like, ew, like, hit my line.
But actually.
But do it. Not like none.
All right, well, maybe you haven't like put out that you're open for business.
I'm literally so open for business. I'm about to go into foreclosure.
Yeah, he's open for business. He spreads his legs.
Like, for anyone and anything.
For anyone and anything. Love that for
you.
So now let me ask you a question. You're rocking out, you're blowing up. Who's the most famous person who follows you on social media?
Okay. I was actually thinking about this.
And
the other
Sophia
day.
Richie doesn't count because you are friends with her in real life.
Yes. I would say Emma Roberts.
That's a good one.
No, that was the one where I was like, you're fucking lying.
That's a really
like,
good one.
Yeah, Emma Roberts or Sophie Turner.
Today's episode is brought to you by Lululemon. So Lululemon is the one-stop shop for this time of year because it's sweater weather. So we're wearing leggings, we're looking cute, we're staying active, but we're also staying comfortable. And Lululemon is your go-to destination for anything and everything leggings. They have so many fabulous options, whatever you're looking for, whether you're super, super active and you're running and jogging, or you just want like a cute pair of leggings to hold you in and make you look smooth with a big chunky sweater. We love a big chunky sweater. So they have a ton of good options. Here are some of our favorites. The Fast and Free legging, which is great. It's a really weightless on-body sensation. It has great coverage. It's powered by their Nulux fabric. So this legging is designed for those that are looking for complete freedom when you're running or jogging, super, super active. You'll feel held in. You'll feel tight. They won't fall down, but you'll be able to move and have a wide range of motion. Those are the Fast and Free leggings. Also the Wonder Train leggings, which are designed with one of Lululemon's most innovative fabrics, which is Everlux. It's their fastest drying fabric. So if you're more of like a sweaty queen or your crevices get a little moist, we've all been there. There's nothing to be ashamed of. The Wonder Train leggings are for you. They allow you to work hard and feel dry so you can effortlessly transition from sweat to street. It's great for any activities, whether you spin or you're super active and you're just like a sweaty girly. Like, there's really nothing to be embarrassed about. My favorite pair of leggings is the Align leggings. I happen to just love the Align collection from Lululemon, so that's always where I am drawn to. And this is like, you know, if you like to wear leggings, but you're not necessarily running 26 miles in a marathon, you're just running to the grocery store, which sometimes can feel like a marathon. So those are designed by the Nulu fabric, the Align leggings. They're designed for the person who wants a lightweight, low compression yoga solution, but that's also versatile enough for casual wear. So get into the Lululemon leggings at lululemon.com. There's truly something for everyone. everyone. Today's episode is also brought to you by Legacy Box. Think of all the time and money your family invested in capturing family vacations, football games, birthdays, your wedding, whatever it may be. Recording a lifetime of memories was truly a commitment, and camcorders cost thousands of dollars, tapes were expensive, and cameras, of course, required film and development. So Legacy Box exists to preserve your family's recorded moments digitally, ensuring that they're safe forever. So however old you are, we personally grew up in like the VHS era, so all of our home videos from when we were kids were in a huge box in our basement, just gathering dust. Honestly, there's so many elements that, like the heat, if there's a flood, it's really kind of like dangerous to just leave your family's memories chilling in an attic or a basement, you know, leaving it up to the elements. So we ended up doing Legacy Box like a few years ago. It was the best thing ever. We put all of our VHS tapes in a box. We got them back on a thumb drive and we just literally hooked it up to the computer and then to the TV. It's stored there forever. And we just all sat around watching like these moments of us singing, you know, the Spice Girls, moments of our dad. Like, it was really, really special. So don't let another day go by with like your VHS and old home memories just sitting in a box. Legacy Box is a simple and safe solution to digitizing all of your memories. And when you go to legacybox.com/toast, you can enjoy 40% off when you get started with Legacy Box today. The process is super easy. You send in the tapes, the pictures, whatever you got, and their team will professionally digitize everything by hand in the USA, and you'll get it back on the cloud or the thumb drive. They digitize over 15 different types of analog media, and after 10 years in business, they're the world's largest digitizer. So you owe it to your family to safeguard your memories. Don't let your photos continue to fade. Become your family's hero and save them before it's too late. Buy a Legacy Box today at legacybox.com/toast for our exclusive offer. That's legacybox.com/toast. Today's episode is also brought to you by Thrive Cosmetics, which I am wearing today. Whether you're fresh-faced, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics viral tubing mascara, probably because I'm always talking about it and always using it in my TikToks. So it's a turquoise tube. It's all over social media. Well, Thrive Cosmetics beauty products are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free. They're made with clean, skin-loving ingredients, high-performance and trademarked formulas, and uncompromising standards. So it's easy to see why their best sellers have thousands of five-star reviews. They have a ton of fabulous products that have gone viral. The Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara is what I use. I'd never used a tubing mascara before. I have very straight lashes. They don't hold a curl well, and this is my everyday go-to mascara, whether I'm doing the toast or going to an event. I love it. You'll look like you have lash extensions. They also have semi-permanent smoothing lipsticks, which is going to give you a visibly fuller, smoother, nourished lip with a creamy satin finish. And the one that's really gone viral is the Brilliant Eye Brightener. So it's a highlighter in a stick that's made to brighten up and open your eyes. It'll give you an instant eye lift. I'm wearing it in my inner corner today. I love an inner corner highlight. It's so Kardashian. Also under your brow bone, there's a million ways you can use highlighters to make your eyes look big. And the Thrive Cosmetics one is in a stick, so you can get really in there and not get highlighter all over your face and look like you've been glitter bombed. So Thrive Cosmetics is a luxury beauty brand that gives back. It's cause for a reason. They're constantly giving back to their community. So right now you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/toast. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/toast for 20% off your order. Sophie Turner. We're going to talk about Sophie Turner because Sophie Turner has, of course, been in the news recently.
Yeah.
And for a multitude of reasons, you know, her divorce, custody, Taylor Swift. But why we really need to talk about it is because, like, she was spotted out multiple times going to dinner with Taylor Swift, leaving Taylor Swift's apartment, handing her kids over and putting them in a car, all wearing your merch.
Yeah. Do you want to know the story?
I think I know the story, but the toaster was one.
Okay. So basically, when all this little stuff first happened with me, the Jonas Brothers duetted my stuff.
Oh, I remember with the Coke.
With the Coke.
Yeah.
And so, like, I worked with them. Mm-hmm. And when I worked with them, Joe was like, actually, you know who showed me you was my wife. And I was like, your wife, Sophie. He FaceTimed her.
Oh, wow.
I'm such a nosy bitch. Like, I was like looking at the contact name. It was like wifey.
Oh, that's like chuggy.
Yeah, but like cute.
Cute. No, happy for them, even though no longer.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, R.I.P. And I was like, hey. And she was like, oh my God. Like, da da da. And I was like freaking out. So when I sent the Jonas Brothers merch, I included one for Sophie.
Right.
Just like.
Smart.
Just to include one. Never thought she'd get it, let alone wear it to dinner with Taylor Swift. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I woke up the next day and someone texted me like, I could have sworn this is Puss Casino. And I was like, holy fuck.
That's so crazy.
Because it is Puss Casino.
And it always will be
Puss Casino.
That's so crazy.
Oh my God. I like still get like butterflies, chills thinking about it.
I'm obsessed with that. Like that. And she's out with Taylor Swift.
Yeah. And I'm like wondering like.
If Taylor got cold.
Like, would she give it to her? Did right. Taylor ask, why the fuck does your hoodie say Puss Casino?
It's really a conversation starter if you think about it.
Yeah, but like, but then it was like around her waist, so maybe Taylor didn't notice. Like, I'm just like,
no, that's a lot for
it's
one
like
person.
It's like a lot for like my brain to like wrap around.
It's a lot for one person to go through. Yeah. I'm sorry you had to deal with that.
No, like, it's fine.
Like I said, happy for you, but also jealous.
Right.
Okay, so your job here today is to join me in the past five stories.
I've never been more excited for anything.
Now,
in my
let
life.
Me tell you, the stories, they're not amazing.
Okay.
They're not groundbreaking, but.
We'll make it groundbreaking.
We'll make it groundbreaking. And to me, like, any opportunity to steer the conversation into talking about things that I love, Taylor Swift.
Yes.
That's fabulous. So, Jake, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Are you ready for the past five stories?
I'm so fucking ready for the past five stories.
Let's fucking go. First story, of course, we have to talk about Taylor. And for those who are like, stop talking about Taylor. No. And there's only one story, so just calm down. The ratings are in at the Chiefs-Jets game.
Oh, okay.
So they have hit a new high for the regular season. 27 million people tuned into that game on Sunday, making her second week cheering on Travis Kelce. So the game featuring the Kansas City Chiefs versus the New York Jets averaged approximately 27 million viewers, making it the most watched Sunday show since the Super Bowl on Fox in February.
The power of fucking Swifties.
It's so crazy. I will say, it also, like, I don't know how sports ratings work.
Right.
Because I watched, I'm trying to get into football, like, for Taylor. So yeah. Last night I watched another football game.
Oh.
It was so boring.
It's so boring.
Oh my
boring.
God. There was, like, nobody famous on the team. And one team was so much better than the other that, like, right. It wasn't even, like, a competition.
Yeah, it's like, why am I watching?
And everyone was, like, kind of being bad at their jobs. Like, catch the ball. Like, it's not, I was confused. So, compared to the, I went to the game on Sunday. Right. And it was actually so interesting. Like, there were so many different celeb players, of course, like Travis. But then the whole Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm,
Patrick.
Like, there was a lot of celebrity energy.
Right.
And both teams were playing so good. Till the very end, we were like, who's going to win? Who's going to lose? So, maybe that would have made the ratings high anyway.
No, but then, it's Taylor.
It's Taylor.
It's fucking Taylor. I walked into, well, Brett always watches football, but I walked in to Brett watching it and I was like, what are you doing? She's like, well, I'm watching for Taylor.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm like, honestly, yeah.
Yeah. What are your thoughts? Now the NFL is getting like a little bit criticized for how they're interacting with this whole Taylor Swift saga on social media, like changing their bio, making like their Twitter banner pictures of mm-hmm. Taylor, making a lot of TikToks, the MCs during right. the games. Like, what are your thoughts on it? Like, are they going too far? I think it's like a little much.
I think like, what the fuck are they supposed to do? Like,
I know.
Everyone's talking about it. If
this
they didn't,
uncharted territory.
First of all, it's uncharted territory. And if they didn't do it, everyone would be like, oh my God, the NFL should have lent into the Swifties more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They should be leading in, but I do think they're taking it like a tad far. Like,
no,
I think
for sure.
They're forgetting that they're the NFL, like a yeah. major billion-dollar media company who is successful with and without Taylor. And I love that they are getting involved, but now it just feels like a little much.
It does. But why do I kind of love that they're forgetting that the NFL because of Taylor Swift?
Me too. And I love that like they're kind of bending the knee and like acting like fucking losers for like a girl.
Yeah, I love it. And I love how angry boys are getting about it.
Oh my God. So last night at the Giants game, they played, I think during like a timeout, there was a commercial or something on the screens that included Taylor Swift and the entire stadium started to boo.
Shut the fuck up.
And the Giants lost by 30 points. And so when, when you're toxic and negative, like you get out what you put in.
That is disgusting.
It's disgusting. It makes me so mad. Like, first of all, we're only talking about your losery ass team because of Taylor.
Boo, Wayne.
So, first of all, you're welcome. Second of all, your team sucks. So why don't you focus on that, bitch?
First of all. And second of all, if you watch Miss Americana, which the entire country has, mm-hmm. you know that at the 2009 VMAs, she mm-hmm. thought everyone was booing her. So that's incredibly triggering.
Yeah.
Also, like, I don't get it. What do you not... Oh, you're going to pretend like blank space doesn't fucking slap?
No, I'm so sick, honestly. Like people pretending like all this hoopla for Taylor is not warranted.
It is so goddamn warranted.
Honestly, I think we should be doing more.
We should be doing more. And she deserves, like, people forget. Like, people are, like, sitting here acting like Taylor Swift. Like, she has been at this since she was 12 years old.
Yeah.
Lest we forget. Like, 20 years, like... She was meeting every single fan, fucking writing every single song. 14-hour
meet and greets.
She has worked her fucking ass off for this moment mm-hmm. right here. Like, let her have it.
Let her have it. And I just like this whole philosophy, and I think it's mostly by like men who are very dismissive of Taylor Swift
right.
as an artist, a person, and also like the culture and the fandom around her. Being like, oh, you're crazy, or like you're just obsessed with her. She's just blonde and tall. Like, they minimize it.
Right.
And it really actually bothers me because I can speak from my own personal experience, and I think a lot of Swifties can. Like, just the testament to like her work. It's so powerful. It's so good. She does it all herself. Like, they just act like it's like, they're very flippant about it. And it's like, you know, teenage girls shrieking for no reason. Like, fuck off.
Well, teenage girls shriek for the Beatles too.
Right. And Elvis.
Yeah. Like,
do you think Elvis is overhyped?
No, because he's a boy.
David, do you think the Beatles were just a little too overhyped?
Honestly,
no, you don't.
In the moment, they probably would have.
For sure. Because they're dumb. And they can't
people
think critically.
Undermine. I think I saw like Tink say this once. Like, people undermine like female joy.
They do. And I think also like the, even I feel like I remember this with One Direction. There was so much hype and like so many young girls like streaming. And you just minimize like young girls. And Taylor Swift's fans are now of all ages. But they started out as young girls because they were girls who were her age. And things that like young girls like enjoy get minimized and diminished and thought of as stupid.
Right.
When at the end of the day, like those young girls are like, they're going to grow up and be adults. And they're going to enjoy the same things that they enjoy. So shut up.
Yeah, shut up.
And you know what? I think like a lot of the way people act at football is really fucking unreasonable.
Unreasonable.
You're getting arrested at a football game. Like, get therapy. You're really mentally ill. No, you're starting fights. I saw literally this woman beating up another person just from another team.
Why? Because they like disagreed?
Right. Like,
it's like Stan Twitter getting
help.
A physical fight.
You think we're crazy? Like, you put your fucking family finances you put your house in foreclosure. You lose your child's tuition because you're betting on fucking a game. You're putting together fantasy leagues. Like, I could go off about NFL fans, but I don't because I understand people have their fucking interests.
Yes.
I understand that. So get a fucking grip, Chad.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Not me spitting.
You just spat.
Oh my God.
No, but agreed. And also like people forget that people forget how much music Taylor Swift has to her name. Like, people forget everything. Everyone just forgets everything. The second, like, Taylor Swift enters, people forget everything.
They forget everything. They forget the amazing work that she did. Like, when she was leaving her music label and she was going to find another label, she got herself the best possible deal. But she would only go to the specific label that would give her terms to all of the artists on their roster at the time. So huge artists like Nicki Minaj, huge artists who are just happen to be at the label that she chose are getting better streaming deals and getting better revenue shares because she's not a selfish person. She's so charitable and she's not annoying about it the way that other people are. Like, I'm just really tired of having to explain myself.
Wait, same. Like, I'm tired of saying the same thing ever, which is that she's the biggest superstar in the world and she's also like she's relatable.
No, and let's like stop pretending like it's this like mysterious anomaly why she is the biggest star in the world. Like, she's incredibly talented. Nobody questioned the Beatles.
Nobody.
So like, stop.
Also, this is just like my favorite thing about her. And like, people like I don't just love her because she makes a fucking banger. I love her because I've never seen someone be so confident in their own creativity and like exert it with such like
power.
Confidence and power.
Yeah.
It like makes me want to like be creative in my own right. And like, she is such a hard worker. And then she like treats all those around her well. Like, the fucking bonuses she gave to those drivers that drive her fucking tour. Like,
dancers. Everyone on the tour.
And like, did you see that fucking like talk show clip that resurfaced where they were like, I mean, you know, backup singers don't have health insurance. And she was like, well, mine do.
Yep.
Like,
obsessed.
She's here for a reason, and I'm done defending it.
No, I'm done. And I like how we're like defending ourselves and nobody's coming at us right now.
Yeah.
Like, we're just preparing.
We're preparing because
this is the life of a true Swiftie.
It is the life of a true Swiftie. Like, I remember in college, people would be like, what? Like, oh my God, you guys are like sick for her. And now you are.
I love to see people eating their words.
Yeah. And now you are.
And now we've said it.
Yeah.
And now we've said it. All right, are you ready for our next story, which is not about Taylor, but it kind of is.
I'm sure we'll find a way to draw back.
So Beyonce's in final talks to release her Renaissance concert film in a similar deal to Taylor Swift through AMC Theaters following Taylor Swift's deal with them. So a film based on Beyonce's smash hit Renaissance World Tour is in advanced talks to distribute directly with AMC Theaters, sources with knowledge of the project told Variety. So CAA held preliminary talks with major studios and streamers 2 weeks ago, urging the players to be ready to bid on the project that the icon has been developing for years, one that not only includes the top grossing 2023 live show of the Renaissance tour, but parts of what people have been waiting for, the visual album for Renaissance.
Oh, I'm so excited.
And a documentary style account of the making of the record and building out the tour. I'm sure Blue Ivy's cameo will be like a big part of that.
Oh, I'm very excited.
They're saying it'll come out December 1st. The Renaissance World Tour is expected to gross close to $560 million in ticket sales. And the Beyonce deal is following on the heels of the Taylor Swift one, which is, hers is more of a straightforward concert film based on the Eras tour, whereas Beyonce's is more like a conglomerate of things. A
documentary. I'm fucking hyped for that.
A visual album. The terms for Taylor's deal are known to be incredibly favorable. She self-financed her project and she'll take home more than half of the ticket receipts. Mm. Beyonce will receive the same arrangement, stands to pocket more than 50% of the worldwide grossing, an insider added. The industry is trafficking Taylor Swift's AMC experiment to open up north of $100 million in October. Do you have tickets?
Yeah, I have tickets.
When did you get tickets for?
Friday.
Okay, so I got tickets for Friday night.
Me too, Friday night.
And I didn't get like amazing seats.
Uh-huh.
So I also bought Saturday at noon. And when everyone was buying tickets on Friday night, I was like, the thing was panicking and freezing and fucking refreshing. So I just went to Saturday and it was completely open. And I kind of like love a Saturday matinee.
I love a Saturday matinee.
And then I just got invited to a party on Friday night. So I think I'm not going to go to my Friday night. So if anybody wants my tickets, like just DM me, I'll send them to you. You can have them for free. Like I don't want bad seats.
Right.
You know?
Can I just say I love this era of concert films in theaters?
It does feel like we're moving backwards. Like, where were you when the One Direction concert movie came out? Because my ass was in the theater.
Really?
Yeah.
I just remember, like, Justin Bieber's Never Say Never in theaters and Believe. Of course.
I believe I saw Katy Perry's Part of Me in theaters as well.
I've never seen that.
Okay, so one of the running jokes here on the toast is that like there's four celebrity documentaries that I talk about endlessly.
Yes.
And Katy Perry's Part of Me is one of them. It's one of the best ones.
I know.
Celebrity documentaries got to a point where we don't need to hear from you all the time.
All the time.
No offense, Shawn Mendes, Wonder. Like that was
he
not
has a documentary.
Good. Yeah, it was on Netflix. It was called Wonder. It was like part documentary, part concert. And like uh-huh. It was bad. And we just didn't need it. People got a little too comfortable sharing with us, honestly. We're okay. And there are a few examples of the bad ones. And Katy Perry's is an example of the good one. So is Gaga 5'2".
You know, I've never seen that in full. And oh. I'm like the biggest Gaga fan and I've never seen it in full.
It's one of the, she's preparing for the Super Bowl. Oh. It's so good. I like a documentary that's like different, like focusing on one specific. I feel like every celebrity documentary like gives us like shit we don't need.
Right.
Like I like how Gaga's focused on like a 2-week period where she's getting ready for what is probably the biggest concert of her life. Like I right. like the specificity of it.
And you know who makes a great documentary?
Who?
Beyonce.
She does. I loved Homecoming.
Loved Homecoming. Life is But a Dream.
Which is the HBO one where she's
singing, Life is But a Dream.
She's singing in the back of the car.
Ugh, and she sings Yellow with Jay-Z.
Yes, but she, oh, on the boat.
Yeah.
But when she's singing Listen from Dreamgirls practicing,
yes.
I think she was about to perform it on like Oprah or something.
Yes.
That's one of the, like when I get drunk and sit around with my friends on YouTube and we like watch dumb videos, I'm like, we need to watch that one. Uh-huh. I also do the first time Fifth Harmony ever sang together when they were when they were a band called Lilas at Simon Cowell's house, and Mark Anthony is like so blown away by Camila Cabello's vocals.
Yeah.
There's like a few YouTube videos that like give me chills.
Ooh, I have like a few go-tos like that.
What are they?
Like, well, similar. You know when Beyonce sings Halo acoustic and she's like on the drums?
Yes.
Yes, that's one. Another one is...
Oh, another one is 1989 tour when Taylor Swift brought out Mary J. Blige to sing, You Said I'd Never Be a Leader.
Yeah.
So good.
And aside from YouTube videos, my go-to is Miss Americana.
So good.
Just because like, I'm like, I quote it, it's easy, I fall asleep to it, whatever. But like, as far as like YouTube video goes, I honestly watch a lot of like Vine compilations.
Love that. A lot of people don't know the 1989 World Tour, which was released exclusively on Apple Music and then like scrubbed from right. the internet forever, is on YouTube.
It is.
I watch it every time I get drunk. Of all the movies Taylor has put out, like 1989, we had Reputation, we have Miss Americana. What is your favorite film work that Taylor's released?
Miss Americana.
Miss Americana.
Just because, like, I'm pretty sure she did. There's this moment in Miss Americana where she, where it's like, it's showing her, it's, I love how it just shows her rise. So it's mm-hmm. like showing how the crowd changes. And she's like, I had everything I ever wanted. And she's like standing proud and tall. And you just like, and it's the entire crowd for 1989. And it's just like, oh my God, like I know it's kind of a puff piece. Like I know it's kind of like, obviously she had
creative control.
But can I tell you my favorite moment in Miss Americana?
Yeah.
She's driving a Toyota.
I know. A little unrealistic, honestly. Like, I'm not buying it when she goes to her mom's house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I also love when she's going to her mom's house because you kind of see the real her. She's like standing like this watching TV and she's like, I'm like, oh.
I like will live and die for it. Like if Andrea Swift has one fan, it's me. If Andrea Swift has zero fans, I'm dead.
No, dead.
I love her.
I fucking love that whole family.
Me too. I don't really feel like I know Austin.
At all. Yeah.
Okay, not us like veering away from the story. You were saying how like it's crazy how everyone's going now like doing ticketed theaters instead of streamers.
I prefer the ticketed theaters because, okay, well, I remember.
Do you think it has to do with the strike or it's because they're getting more money?
No, I think it's because they're getting more money.
Yeah.
And I think it's because like they're realizing, I think like after, I honestly think after the pandemic, they were like, wait, people like the theaters?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, I thought people liked streaming. And
we
then,
missed it.
Yeah, everyone missed it. So now everyone's going back to the theaters and Billie Eilish did a concert film.
On Apple TV, right?
No, yes, but she also did like the Happier Than Ever tour in theaters.
Oh.
And her fans were like, there's like these viral videos of like her fans like screaming and jumping up and down like in the theater, which is obviously going to be Taylor Swift and Beyonce fans.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be a little annoying to be at the Eras tour. Like,
I'm scared.
No, I want to sit back and enjoy it. Like maybe you can like hum.
Oh, but there's no, there's, you know, there's
standing up dancing.
I mean, there's going to be a lot.
Like, honestly, I find it really annoying. I just want to enjoy.
Right.
Like, we're not at a concert. We're in a civilized theater.
You know what I'm so excited for?
What?
To see in high quality the fucking opening.
I know. Chills.
Lover.
Do you ever go back and just watch your videos from the Eras Tour on your phone?
I barely took videos.
Good for you.
I barely took videos.
Which shows did you go to?
I went to
Vegas.
Vegas. And then I went 3 nights in a row in LA.
Nice.
And I got the fucking sickest surprise songs.
No, I did.
No, what did you dude, what did you fucking get again? I was so angry.
When I was in Nashville, I got
talk about jealousy.
I talk about 15. I got 15.
No, and Abigail was in the crowd.
And Abigail was in the crowd, and she like changed the lyrics. And then I got, what was the second one? It was 1989. Oh, Out of the Woods.
That's not fair.
And then in New York, I got Getaway Car
and Maroon. That, by the
and
way.
And then in the second night, I got Holy Ground.
Yeah.
And then. One, I think I peed during it. I think it might have been False God.
Yeah, I think it was False God. Yeah.
What did you get?
I got, okay, so my first one, I got Our Song, which was like cute. I want Maroon. Everyone knows, like, I want fucking Maroon. And then the second one was like Snow on the Beach.
Cute.
It was good. She was like talking about Lana, which was exciting, but Lana like wasn't there.
Did it come?
Yeah. And I was like, okay.
And then what about LA?
LA, okay, if I'm remembering correctly, the first night I got Dress.
It's good.
It was.
It's good.
I'm not even the biggest Dress stan, but she didn't. I love it when she doesn't introduce it. She just goes, our sacred moments.
Yeah, no, because when she doesn't introduce it, it's because there's so much to be said.
Yeah.
Carly.
Oh, Carly.
Right.
Carly was there on night three.
Oh, yeah.
That was
in
crazy.
In the stands.
And then apparently she got moved. I don't know. We'll talk about
it. Well, it happened at my show. Kate Upton was sitting right behind me. And I'm like, what are you doing here, girl? Like, get down there.
And did she move?
And then Molly Ringwald, we were right in front of the celebrity tent. So I was just watching everybody come in and out.
Uh-huh.
Molly Ringwald appeared to be on the phone with Kate Upton and like had her escorted down.
Okay.
Not Molly Ringwald, saving the day.
Saving STD.
STD.
Saving the day. But I got Dress. I'm trying to remember. I got King of My Heart, which was fucking insane.
That's really hard for me.
Yeah, it was fucking insane. What else did I get? Oh, and then I got New Romantics and New Year's Day.
New Romantics.
Yeah, which was fucking amazing.
What show got Evermore? All my waves of being crumbs.
That's is there a line that we can just be across? And when I was shipwrecked, I thought of you.
So good.
Like that was the best. Oh, I got Exile.
Ooh,
which was good.
That's good.
Yeah, it was like sick. And like the crowd was singing. The crowd was like singing her part back to her.
Right, right.
It was like fucking sickening.
No, like the Eras Tour was the best nights of my life.
I was like my Coachella. I'm like night three, like gotta go.
Yeah, literally Coachella.
Yeah, it was Coachella. And like also 1989 Taylor's version coming out on my birthday.
Not to be like pitting women against women, but whose movie do you think will make more money, Beyonce's or Taylor's? It's really hard to know.
I don't know because their tours are so neck and neck.
Yeah.
But you know that they both like basically saved the economy.
I know. I do think it'll be more about like behaviors in like Taylor Swift fans are who's more likely to go to the theater? Taylor Swift fans or Beyonce fans?
I think both of them.
Yeah.
I think both of them. They honestly, if I have to name the two most loyal and dedicated fan base, it's the Beehive and the Swifties.
And the Toasters. Yes. Today's episode is brought to you by the Inky List. Skincare can be confusing, and with all of the complicated beauty jargon, it can seem nearly impossible to figure out what is actually best for your skin. Now, you don't need to figure it out on your own because you can shop with confidence with the Inky List, an award-winning, science-backed skincare brand that has the right ingredients at an affordable price to get the results you're looking for. Whether it's targeting acne, reducing fine lines, boosting hydration, the Inky List creates a unique skincare routine that really works. So you can meet your skin goals. If you don't know where to start, your first stop should be their online skincare quiz. They'll answer any of your questions so you can make better decisions about your skin, like do I really need a toner? What is polyglutamic acid? Or is skipping moisturizer making my oily skin worse? You can get a whole new skincare routine for under $30. And if you already know what you need, you can find products with ingredients that work, like retinol and vitamin C, without breaking the bank. Plus, the Inky List just launched a new product that will take your routine to the next level, their new Plumping Lip Balm. You can get 40% plumper lips in just 4 weeks without filler, just fuller. Check out the before and afters on their website. If you don't believe them, Inkyless, I feel like skincare can be really intimidating, so just going to a website that's going to do it all for you is fabulous. So right now, the Inkyless is offering our listeners 20% off their purchase with promo code TOAST. Go to the Inkylist, spelled Inkey, and use promo code TOAST for 20% off your order. That's the Inkylist, Inkeylist.com. That promo code is TOAST. Today's episode is also brought to you by Game Time. You shouldn't have to worry about when you're buying tickets for your next big event. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. With killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, and their best price guaranteed, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. So Game Time is the only ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase. You could see the view from your seat before you buy, so you know exactly what you're getting into, and no surprises. I love that. You also get all-in pricing, so your total is being given to you up front, so you know you're getting a great deal without hidden fees. What's worse than that? Like, you're shopping on a ticketing website and you find a good price, and by the time you go to checkout, it's double because there were all these fakakta fees. Not with Game Time. They're showing you everything all up front. And you can buy tickets within seconds. They're obsessed with finding you ways to save money, so they have deals on tickets right up to the day of the event, even up to an hour before it starts. It's a great place to find last-minute seats. You can find exclusive flash deals and sponsored deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. With zone deals, you pick the section and Game Time picks the seats. And the best part is the game part. The best part is the Game Time guarantee, which means you'll always get the best price. So if you find tickets in the same section and row elsewhere for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time, because enjoying concerts or theater or sports should not be torturous, but these days it is. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use code TOAST, and you'll get $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code TOAST, TOAST, for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Our next story, I'm so fucking obsessed with, like I could vomit. Kim Cattrall is stripping down in shapewear for a new campaign for Skims. So, and
there
just like that.
There is a new campaign every week for Skims.
It's so true, but you know what? If they keep slaying the talent department, like, yeah, I'm okay with it.
Right.
It doesn't feel repetitive and it doesn't feel annoying yet.
Yeah, they had Ice Spice. That was cool.
They just get such good people. When they got the two girls from White Lotus so quickly after White Lotus blew up, they do a really good job. Mm-hmm. So the Sex and the City star, who's 67, stripped down for Kim Kardashian's latest shapewear campaign, striking a pose in some of the label's most loved styles. So, like, who cares about the Skims? I'm just, like, obsessed with this partnership. Mm-hmm. I'm obsessed with Kim Cattrall, like, getting her flowers.
Yeah. Oh, as she should.
I feel, like, so in defense of Kim Cattrall at all times, because when it comes to the reboot, like, I know if everybody's mad at you, like, you're usually the problem, but I don't know. I feel like Kim Cattrall was wronged. I feel like...
So wronged.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't have any insider information, and I don't have any proof. I just really feel like Kim Cattrall, like, I could see a world in which Sarah Jessica Parker, like, was a bitch.
Yeah. And I can see, I mean, like, it's like Kim Cattrall, like, from what I've seen, I haven't, like, I'm not, like, the most dedicated Sex and the City watcher, but, like, what? She was the funniest one.
She, like, the thing is, I think the show was, like, Sarah Jessica Parker's show, and Kim Cattrall got, like, a role, and she made the most of it.
Yeah.
And I think for many people, she was the best character. She was far and away the best actress.
Right.
She had, like, the most interesting storylines. And honestly, like, in this modern age, she's kind of, like, the most modern woman, you know?
Yeah.
She was a business owner. She was very sexually free, mm-hmm. very, gender fluid almost when it came to her partners. Like, she was that bitch and she made the most out of her role. And I think, like, there definitely became competition when it was supposed to be Carrie's show. And if you watch a show, like, Carrie's the fucking worst. Like, we hate Carrie. She's a terrible friend, a terrible business person, like, not even a good writer. And Kim Cattrall, like, was that bitch. Samantha is the best part of the show.
Right.
There's no question about it. So I think, like, the dynamics on set were probably really toxic. And I'm sure, you know, everybody's truth is their own.
Right.
But I stand with Kim Cattrall.
I always stand with Kim Cattrall. She's everything.
And, you know, Patricia Field, who, like, is responsible for all the styling on the original show and, like, the iconic looks, she left with Kim Cattrall. Like,
oh, then that says the most.
I know. It's like, the thing is, I go where Pat goes. They call her Pat.
Uh-huh.
I stand with Pat.
Well, did you see, I mean, obviously you probably saw Kim's cameo. It was the most, we need to convince people we don't have beef, so let me pay you a bag to, like, film a scene completely separate
on
from
me.
On
the other side of the
country. On the other side of the country.
Yeah, and I watched her on The View talking about it, and she was like, I said, you know, I didn't want to do it, and, you know, they offered me, and I was like, you know what, sure, but I'm only doing it if Pat comes back for this episode.
That's so, fucking loyalty.
So, like, the thing is, there's more to this story, and I'm just not going to let it brush under, like, Kim Cattrall wanted more money, Kim Cattrall was jealous. I think there's more. So people like Skims platforming Kim Cattrall, I am here for.
Here.
Because I think she was done dirty. I really do.
I also think so.
And lest we not forget, she plays the iconic role of Britney Spears' mother in the movie Crossroads. So, like, she's an enormous talent.
She is so wildly talented. She's funny. She's a good actress. I have always fucking loved Kim Cattrall, and I haven't ever really been the biggest Sex and the City fan.
That's so interesting. I feel like you would like it. Like,
I know.
You're from New York, right?
I know. But I'm like liking, like when I like watch TV, I'm like liking like alien documentaries and like sci-fi stuff.
Really?
Yeah, I know. I'm like,
what are you watching right now? Like,
okay, I'm watching this show called Encounters, which is really bad.
Okay.
It's really, really bad.
I appreciate the honesty.
And it's like, I'm like, if I'm watching a show about aliens, like convince me. Convince
you
me they
exist.
You
want to be convinced. I understand that.
Because I'm not convinced.
You're not convinced.
No. But I'm also watching this show called Invasion, also about aliens.
Oh, you need help.
I need so much help.
You have the best laugh. Like, it kind of scares me.
Really?
Like, I don't see it coming and it's so loud. I'm like obsessed with it.
That's like my real hardcore laugh.
No, I'm so honored. You've done it like four times.
Yeah, because you're fucking hysterical.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
But I'm watching Invasion. What else am I watching? I'm watching, well, it's off the air right now, but Yellow Jackets.
Oh, so I think that's good. Like very disturbing.
It is so disturbing. It is so good.
Really?
Like, talk about like actors being like pushed to their limits.
Oh, I love
that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, fuck, like they had to like prepare for this episode where like she gave birth in the woods.
I love.
Like, sorry, spoiler alert, but like, whatever.
Who gives birth? No kidding.
Like, I honestly forget the name. But I'm watching Yellow Jackets. What else am I watching? Invasion, Yellow
Jackets.
Do you
want to act? Is that like one of your goals?
Yes.
Okay. You want to do like an improv?
Okay.
Okay.
Like with you.
Yeah, no, when I was at camp, we had like in the, like, it was like the drama crew, like they would put on a play and like, so every now and then we'd have to do like drama exercises. Okay, so one of the exercises is you guys are going to give us, you're going to give us a location, like tell us where we are, like a coffee shop, a restaurant, something like that. And you're going to give us a word.
Okay,
you're at Erewhon. We're at Erewhon. Okay. Say that again.
The bill.
The bill. Can you believe dinner last night that like nobody offered to pay the bill except for me?
Well, yes, I actually can believe it because we were at a grocery store.
Right, right.
But like I understand because, you know, it's so interesting almost because it's like a grocery store but dinner all in one, which I guess hasn't been done before.
No, I'm like a really thin person and I feel like Erewhon is for thin people. And I just go in there and I feel really like excited to be around other thin people.
100%. It's also like I could eat the mac and cheese and feel like it's good for me.
You want to know an actually fun fact about me?
Yes.
I've never been to Erewhon.
Ever?
Ever. It's really not for me. Like, it's like a healthy grocery store.
But like, I am like very like, I get the same thing every single time. We're not even acting.
No, I know. Like, we're not even acting because we're so authentic.
We're so authentic. We're method acting.
What do you get from Erewhon?
Okay, you're going to be like, ew, it's actually not bad. The keto pork stir fry. No, I understand. I'm not
a Jew,
keto.
First of all.
No, it's not keto. It's just like spicy pork.
Okay.
And then I get a side of white rice.
Okay. I'm kind of a rice aficionado.
Like oh,
rice
the
is,
most.
Rice is my number one favorite food, and I'm very particular about what types of rice. Like, rice pilaf? No, thank you. I don't need peas in my rice.
You don't like rice pilaf?
No. What kind of rice? Like, rate the rice at Erewhon.
They only have one. Oh, actually, no. They have multiple rice. They have cilantro rice.
I'll live with it, but I'll pick around the cilantro.
Oh, it's not my fave. And then they have jasmine rice.
Love.
And then they have fried rice. So I would actually go jasmine rice, fried rice, cilantro rice.
Okay.
You know, fun fact, before I started Past That Puss, it was initially going to be a rice review account.
Okay, I would have subscribed. I would have been your first follower. I love rice.
You want to know what my latest obsession with rice is?
Yeah.
Rice with truffle oil and soy sauce.
Okay, first of all, rice with soy sauce, like at a sushi restaurant. Like I grew up in the city and like
the
cool thing to do was like go get sushi. And like, I don't like sushi.
Momoya?
So I was, right. It was more like Haru because I was an uptown girl.
Love Haru.
Love Haru. I would always order just like a bowl of white rice at Amami and like douse my rice and soy sauce. It's literally like a delicacy.
It's a delicacy. So good. You have to put the right amount of soy sauce on.
Yeah, if you overdo it, it could start to taste like
soup.
Like alcohol.
Yeah, alcohol soy sauce soup.
Yeah, it's like too much.
It's too much.
Also, a teriyaki sauce on your rice.
Ooh. Fuck, you need to try the truffle oil and soy sauce.
Okay, well, here's the thing. I'm coming to LA in like 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
And I think that you should take me to Erewhon.
Wait, holy shit. Okay, you heard it here first. I'm not letting you bail on this. This
no,
is happening.
No, we're going. Maybe I'll vlog it for our Patreon. Like, I need to try like a smoothie, right?
Yeah.
But like, I don't like juice. Like,
can I be
juice.
Honest?
Yeah.
Okay, so I once, okay, you know when you like throw up from something, mm-hmm. but it's not because of it. It's just like, you throw it up.
It was what you
up.
Threw it up. Yeah, the truffle pizza from Serafina. I threw it up on the side of Montauk Highway. And Ben always orders it. It's called the Pizza de Sofia. It's like a truffle like yeah. sandwich pizza. Oh
with
my
the
God.
White stuff in the middle.
When I smell it, I'm on.
That's kind of rude of him to do that.
No, I'm on Route 27 dry heaving out of a cab.
Wait, that's like mean of him to do that.
I know.
That.
He like doesn't care either.
That's rude because it's so traumatizing.
It
I
is.
Threw up. I got back from a trip and I got Erewhon and I got the Hailey Bieber smoothie just because I was like fucking thirsty and or whatever they're calling it now, strawberry glaze. Right. And I got it and it was good. But then I also got the tuna. I'm going to puke. The tuna sandwich. The tuna sandwich or the not the tuna sandwich, the sushi sandwich. Because mm-hmm. I was like, I want a smoothie and I want the fucking sushi sandwich. Later that night, I obviously threw up for 5 hours.
Yeah, of course.
And I threw up the smoothie and the tuna sandwich, so I can no longer
have smoothies
or eat sushi from Erewhon or have smoothies. The only smoothie I can have is the peanut butter blast.
The only smoothie I can have is a milkshake, and I love milkshakes so much.
I fucking love milkshakes. I can only have smoothies when they taste like milkshakes.
Have you ever had Sonic?
Never. I've been desperate to go. Okay,
so I had never had it, but we filmed a mukbang and we were like going to places and there was a Sonic. I'm like, let's go to Sonic. Like, what if we just went to Sonic? And I didn't really know much about the menu there, but it's really like a drinks place. They have a ton of stuff, right. But they're known for, they do like crazy collab drinks like Dr. Pepper slushy. They have milkshakes. They have regular shakes. So we got like an Oreo milkshake, a Reese's smoothie. It was so fucking good. We also got a soft pretzel. It was the best thing I ever had.
I love soft pretzels.
Sonic, and it was such a clean, like I had been to like 4 fast food restaurants that day. Nice. Like just because we were doing mukbang. This one was so, Jackie was pregnant, so like I was one who had to like run in and she was locked in the car and like I would run in and get the food. It was so annoying.
Wait, I thought they brought it to you on roller skates.
Not in the city.
They have Sonics here?
It was in Queens. I don't know if there's one in like the borough of Manhattan. But I think when you go to a Sonic in like a proper neighborhood, yeah, they'll roll it out to you. So let's go in LA.
Let's go in LA.
Will you drive me? I don't like.
I don't drive.
You don't? We were talking about that Jackie doesn't drive either.
I can't. I'll crash.
Why? Where'd you grow up?
New York.
In the suburbs?
No, in Washington Heights.
Okay, so you wouldn't drive in Washington Heights?
No, yeah, my dad drove me to school every day.
Okay.
And I just can't drive. Like, my dad's like the most stereotypical like Jewish dad. Like, he's like scared like of me like leaving the house. So like, I guess it's like stereotypical Jewish mom, but like it's
same
him.
Thing, same thing.
And he is like scared of like me to like experience the world. And so it honestly makes my life easier because I don't have to fucking learn how to drive.
And you have to like pay for parking.
Yeah, pay for parking. Like I'll just Uber.
Okay. I mean, I drive now. I don't really need to. I never drive because I'm in the city. Also, Ben drives me around. But imagine living in LA. It's like a little debilitating.
It is. But like I'm always with my friends and they all drive.
Oh, that's true. That's what's so nice about having roommates.
Yeah. Roommates and friends. Like that's what I'm saying. Like I have 5 friends. Each one of those 5 friends drives.
Okay. And so we're going to Erewhon when I'm in LA.
Yeah.
Okay. Ah! Do they have chicken fingers?
They do. They're not good? My fave. Well, they're not like chicken fingers.
They're like healthy.
They're like the it's like, I don't know. It's like, I don't know. It's not my fave.
Okay.
Some people love them. Okay. Some people love them. You know what's really good there is the gluten-free mac and cheese.
Why it gotta be gluten-free?
I don't know, but it doesn't taste
it. Do they have mac and cheese, period, regular?
No, it's only gluten-free mac and cheese.
Like, that's so Erewhon, and that's why it's not for me.
I know, but it's so good. Like, you'll go and be like, okay, this slaps. That was a
great question. Great, like, thought-provoking conversation.
Yeah, it was honestly so easy because we didn't even act. We just, like, started talking.
And, and scene. Good work, everybody. All right, are you ready for our next story?
I am.
Pamela Anderson has gone makeup free at Paris Fashion Week, and Jamie Lee Curtis is losing her goddamn mind about it. So,
Jamie Lee Curtis loses her mind over anything and everything.
No, it's so true. She kind of needs to reel it in.
Sorry.
Oh my God, I'm dying. I love your laugh. Okay, Pamela Anderson is leaving her mark. At least that's the sentiment Jamie Lee Curtis recently shared.
Sure.
Okay, so it really was pretty fabulous that Pamela Anderson went to like a big time fashion week event and did not wear a single stitch of makeup. Jamie Lee Curtis posted a photo of Pamela without the makeup and she goes like this in all caps. The natural beauty revolution has officially begun. Pamela Anderson in the middle of fashion week with so many pressures and postures, and this woman showed up and claimed her seat at the table with nothing on her face. I am so impressed and floored by this act of courage and rebellion. Now, let me say something. I love to see a woman supporting another woman.
Right.
But to make such a big deal out of someone not wearing makeup and calling it courageous and rebellious, like,
yeah. It's giving. Do you know that commercial of Jennifer Aniston and the kid who has cancer?
Yes.
And he's like, my mom says I'm the most beautiful boy in the world. She goes, I love your confidence.
Yeah.
Like that's what that's given.
You know, like to remark so hugely.
Right.
And use such big words like courageous and rebellion. Like you making it such a big deal is making it. It's really not courageous to wear makeup, to not wear makeup. It shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be. And Pamela Anderson did it. And she did it like,
she looked fabulous.
She looked fucking fabulous. I will say, while Jamie Lee Curtis's sentiment, it makes me giggle. I agree with it. Like,
no, yeah.
It's like awesome. And like, I fucking love that Pamela Anderson, who was like this huge
bombshell
in the 90s or 80s or whatever. Like,
like the 30s.
Yeah. Like whenever. is now coming out and is like, you want me back? You right. want me to be this fucking bombshell? I'm going to come back on my own terms. I think it's so cool.
I think it's so cool too. I'm rewatching The Nanny, which is one of the great joys of my life. And I cannot recommend it enough. Like, it's the best sitcom. And the amount of celebrity cameos they have on there is so crazy. Pamela so I was watching Anderson? Last night. Celine Dion was on an episode.
What?
The one I watched last night had Roseanne Barr, Celine Dion, Elizabeth Taylor was on an episode.
They wait, what?
Crazy cameos. And Pamela Anderson, she's kind of like a recurring character. She comes on three different episodes, like in three different seasons. She plays Heather Biblow, the woman Fran's fiance left her for.
Okay.
And she's so amazing. And I really forget, because I was like a little bit before my time and I didn't watch like Baywatch growing up. It was the 80s. I really forget her impact. And I think that's why her documentary that came, that's a good documentary.
That's a fucking sick documentary.
That, I think that's why it was so powerful, because like there's a whole generation of people, us included, like who didn't grow up with Pamela Anderson and didn't really understand like her impact on like the beauty standard and what she went through in the sex tape. I watched Pam and Tommy, the Hulu show.
How was?
It was amazing and it was really upsetting.
Okay, I need to watch.
The whole thing happened. Pamela was like pregnant. She experienced a miscarriage because she was so stressed out. People were extorting her for money. Her documentary ended up making like millions of millions. I mean, not her documentary, her sex tape ended up making like millions
and millions. And what? She didn't see a cent?
Not a cent. Because Penthouse like bought it illegally.
That's
like
so fucked up.
It was so fucked up. And she went through all of that. And like, we know the stories of the girls of our generation, like Kim and Paris. But we don't know, like, really, she, like, Pamela Anderson was a trailblazer, and, like, she went through it, and nobody was on her side at the time.
Right, because people were like, ew.
Even the show that I watched, Pam and Tommy, was made without her consent, and she was very vocal in not wanting
it to be made. I remember this.
She, like, wanted people not to watch it, even though I do think it made her look really good.
Right.
And sympathetic. I think she wanted people to hear it on the Netflix documentary, which was really popular.
Totally get that, by the way. That's like a businesswoman thinking.
Yeah, and so now here she is again, like doing the most for women, wearing no makeup to Paris Fashion Week and really looking stunning.
Yeah, she looks gorgeous. She's just such a natural beauty too.
Yeah, she really is. And she's like such a mom. It's so crazy. Like, she's had so many eras of her life. And then, like, I love when things in pop culture don't make sense. And one of the things that like makes no sense to me is like, or just like that connects, is like her son was a cast member on The Hills New Beginnings reality show. Yeah. She was on it. Brandon, and he was one of her sons who was like one of the filmmakers on the documentary. So it's just like inner circle Hollywood thing that I
loved that.
All right, are you ready for our fifth and final story?
I am.
It's about one of my favorite things in the world, and I'm curious what your thoughts are. Do you play pickleball?
I don't, and I was literally just saying the other day I don't fucking get it.
Okay, but have you played?
No.
That's why you don't get it.
Okay, can you explain, please? Because I really don't, like, everyone's treating pickleball like, first of all, did it just get invented?
No, but it's recently popularized.
Okay, it's like everyone's like, pickleball, 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 pickleball. I'm like, I don't pickle. What?
The thing is, for me at least, like, I love things that are active that don't require me to like run a lot. Like,
that why people like pickleball?
So it's like a fabulous workout, and it's a really fun game because it's basically all the fun of tennis without the running. The court is, I would say, a third of the size of a tennis court.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so I could get involved.
And you play on a team of two, so there's really like no running involved. And you could do like sick like trick shots. Like, once you learn to play, it's like really fun. But apparently pickleball is wreaking havoc across the United States. So the game's rapid rise has made for ugly turf wars, furious noise complaints, violence, lawsuits, and even potential criminal charges.
How?
So Chuck Line, the city manager in Glendale, Colorado, has said, I have had to go over to our recreational sports center and tell 70-year-old men, if you threaten to hit our sports center director in the with the paddle again, I'm going to kick you out. This guy never anticipated that his job might include lecturing senior citizens about how to play nicely. But nothing has been off limits since the Picklers began showing up in earnest in the Denver Picklers? Enclave.
Is that what they're called, though?
Yep. A couple months ago, a group of fierce competitors all over the age of 60 refused to leave the city's outdoor tennis courts when they were asked by maintenance staff because the courts were scheduled to be resurfaced. The players stood their ground, yelled, "You can't make us," until the cops finally showed up. Also, there's a big problem with pickleball noise complaints.
How?
So the ball, it's like a wiffle ball with the holes in it. Okay. And when you hit it against your paddle, it makes a really annoying popping sound.
Like what?
And it's a small court, so it goes pop, 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 pop. It's like, it's actually really annoying. It's like loud too.
Okay.
When I play in New York, I play in the middle of Central Park, so like it doesn't bother anyone.
Right, but in tennis, people are like, ugh!
Yeah.
So.
And they've converted 30% of pickleball courts in the United States, 30% of tennis courts in the United States to pickleball courts.
Oh, it's a revolution.
So it's literally, now there's like beef with the tennis. And a lot of professional tennis players have been like arguing like, build your own courts, don't use ours. Like, there's a lot of drama.
Can I say something? I think that piece is a hit piece by the tennis community.
Hot take. You know what? I could see it. But the thing is, people love pickleball and they're not stopping. Like, this summer, there's I think 15 courts in the middle of Central Park. Uh-huh. Good luck getting a time slot. Like, it's so fucking popular that the people who own it, they just opened an indoor one in Long Island City for the winter. Like, it's so popular. It's only getting more popular. So, like, people, like, the tennis people, like, need to get a grip.
Okay, so you know what we're going to do in LA when we go to Erewhon? Mm-hmm. We're also going to play pickleball together.
Where do you play in LA?
I don't know. Like, that, I trust you.
Oh, I'll find out.
I trust you.
Well, so the one here, it's a chain. They're all over the East Coast, coast called City Pickle. Maybe they have LA SP. Location. I mean, CP. CP. Not SP. CP. It's been a long day.
It's been, yeah, long.
Yeah, I would love to play. It's so much fun. And if you're not athletic, are you athletic? I feel like you're always working out on your Instagram.
Oh my God, well, I've recently started my workout journey.
Me too.
And I'm like loving it.
I'm loving it too. Okay, so when you first started working out, were you like crippled by soreness?
Yeah.
And I never moved a day in my
life.
But
I would like tell everyone I was sore. Like that was like my, like I wanted to be sore. I was like, oh, like I'm so sore.
So I thought the same thing. I'm like, there's no better feeling than complaining about being sore because that means like you're so active.
Yeah.
But what I've learned now I work out like a couple times a week. Mm-hmm. Once you're like continuously active, like you don't get sore.
Right.
So like complaining that you're sore is actually just like making people realize like you're not in shape.
Right. And also like it just means you don't stretch and I don't stretch.
Who the fuck has the time?
No one.
No
I don't have time. First of all, my workout journey was really bad today. I was supposed to work out before this. Obviously, I slept through it.
I don't work out before anything. It's always after.
Yeah, I've also started doing that.
Yeah.
But I played volleyball in high school.
So did I.
Really? What was your position?
Okay, bench. The thing is, like, I loved playing volleyball. I was on for all 4 years of high school. Uh-huh. And my senior year, I was on the varsity team. And, like, I was just getting, like, no respect. Like,
yeah.
I wasn't a captain. I sometimes started, sometimes didn't. I'm like, you know what? I'm not spending my fucking senior year being disrespected. And I left the team after 4 years. And, of course, that's the year they won the championship. Like, it was, like, I kind of have volleyball trauma.
I also have volleyball trauma because I...
Men's volleyball is really crazy.
It's crazy. I was libero. Obviously, they just like
what the fuck is that?
Like the short passer.
Oh, like the first hit.
I was so bad that there was this eighth grader that would not only always obviously play over me in the games because I was benched, but would play over me in practice.
Wow.
Like that was like it was bad. So I started just like being like, okay, this like,
you know, it hurts.
It hurts. I'm like, wait, I'm really that bad.
Like I took it personally when I wouldn't get like started.
Right, and it's like, why would they start me?
But the thing is, like, I believed I was good. Like, I wasn't bad. There were definitely people who were better than me. I wasn't going to be, like, your first choice, your second choice, your fifth, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, it was really hurtful, and I started to take it personally. And I did, and I'll stand by this, I do believe my coach had something against me. And, like, right. I know that she did. So it was part, like, maybe I didn't deserve to be, like, 100% the starter all the time. But she definitely had it out for me. And I took my power back, and I quit the team.
Definitely started misbehaving by the end of it as well.
Yeah, no, I was definitely also like chatty in practice.
Yeah.
Which was like a big no-no.
Oh, I was the most, and I would act like I like knew what was going on and everyone would be like, someone get this kid to shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Because he's not only does he not shut up, he's not good.
Ooh.
Like, you know what I mean?
Also like the drills, like the running and stuff. Like I just felt like that was unnecessary.
Like WTP, what's the point?
W-A-W-R. Why are we running?
Like NR, no reason.
No reason.
Yeah.
NR, I love that.
Yeah.
No reason. You're wearing some of your merch today that says gag. Now, I assume you're not promoting blowjobs. There's a deeper meaning. I know what it is. Get a grip.
Get a grip.
I love that.
Yeah. I just love nimming.
Another one of the trends that you really created on TikTok is we're nimming, mm-hmm. where you just like make up an acronym instead of saying a short sentence. And it's literally my life. Me and Ben are always doing that.
Yeah,
like,
Il Tuso.
But like, before we made the TikTok, we're always just like saying stuff. If we're like talking, I said, I felt like such a big, ugly loser. He's like, a B-U-L? I'm like, yes.
A bull.
I am.
Oh my God.
What?
That's funny. Like that's, see, it's, nimming is so fun because you figure it out in the moment. Like what did I say earlier? STD.
So
I forget, but now it can also mean save the date.
Save the date. Love that.
Like it could mean.
I think you said SDT. So damn true.
Oh, yeah.
So damn true.
So damn true. And what's my favorite? My favorite is Tino.
Let me think. T-I-N-O.
Mm-hmm.
This is not okay.
Yes!
Dad, it's not okay.
And you can like conjugate it. So it can be they are not okay. Or right. That is not okay.
That is not okay.
Yeah. And then there's also TISA. This is so awkward.
TSA.
No, T-I-S-A.
This is so awkward.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
ILT. I love that.
Yeah. ILT.
ILT.
Yeah.
ILTUSO is my favorite.
What did that stand for again?
I love the US Open.
Yeah, that was sick.
And Esho. It's so hot outside.
Oh, yeah. Well, my I don't have one here, but it says ish. It can mean I'm so hungry. It's so hot. Mm-hmm. Like, it just depends. Like, you use it. It depends, like, in what scenario you're using. Like, if I was, like, outside and it was 90 degrees, I'd be like, ish. And they'd be like, okay, you're so hot. Like, yeah. It's so hot.
Ben's nim that he made up that he's really proud of is Mustastis. My shorts are too short. He was obsessed.
That's sick.
Sick.
T.S.
That's sick. Taylor Swift.
Yeah, that's sick. Like, my friend, it's fun when, like, all your friends are in on the naming. So, like, for you, it's fun that, like, Ben's in on it. Yeah. Because, like, we'll be just, like, oh, like, we'll say, like, we can say it without having to ask what it is. Like, we'll be, like, what should we do for dinner? And we'll be, like, oh, TTT. Trying to think.
Trying to think.
Like, just give me a sec, like, TTT. Or we'll say TIB. TIB is one we use all the time.
Let me think. TIB.
T-I-B.
What are we having for dinner? TIB. I don't know.
This is bad.
This is bad.
So, like, I'll sometimes, like, look at my friends and be like, holy fuck, TIB.
Tib.
Like, this is bad.
This is bad.
Or Tisa. Holy fuck, Tisa. This is so awkward.
I'm obsessed with him. I'm obsessed with you. You crushed your first time on the toast.
Oh, did I?
You did. Thank you so much for being here. Now, before you leave, I am going to force you to make, like, 100 TikToks with me.
Oh, wait. I was going to say, we need to make the October 3rd one.
We need to go do a nimming one.
Yeah, we need, obviously. We're nimming. We're October 3rd in. Mm-hmm. And then do you have others as well?
No, just those two.
Okay, yeah. Well, those are fire.
Those are good enough.
Yeah, those are good enough.
Everyone, make sure to follow Jake on all social media platforms. He's on TikTok. He's on Instagram. Pass That Puss 8, right?
No. Instagram.
Oh, fuck. Sorry.
Instagram is Pass That Puss. And TikTok is at Octopus Lover 8. Octopus with two S's for puss.
Yeah, I think, doesn't octopus always have two S's?
No, one S.
No.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you guys so much for listening to the Toast the Millennium Morning Show, where we deliver the fast 5 stars you need to every Monday through Friday on YouTube. If you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as podcasts and our podcasts. We found it on Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, Castbox, all the places. We'll listen to podcasts. Find us at Toast 5 star view. What a beautiful sending and wickedly talented we are. Hope you guys have an amazing day. We are back tomorrow with Jax. So love ya. Bye.
Mwah.